happened that in the fifth year, only 5 years in his reign, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. And what do we see? But that in verse 3, we see that Shishak, king of Egypt, brings up 1,200 chariots, 60,000 cavalrymen, and an innumerable army of Luabim and Sukkim and the Ethiopians. And they took the fortified cities of Judah, and they were on their way to Jerusalem. And so we read in verse 5 that prophet, Shimei, the prophet, came to Rehoboam, and he said to the leaders of Judah as well, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, therefore I have also left you in the hands of Shishak." Well, lo and behold, what does Rehoboam do? But in verse 6, he and the leaders real quickly humbled themselves. And God saw that they had humbled themselves in verse 7. And then we read down in verse 12, "When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely. And things also went well in Judah." But what did Rehoboam learn from this lesson? He didn't learn a thing, did he? Because we read down in verse 14, "And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord." Rehoboam had a great lesson taught to him, but he didn't follow through. And why didn't he follow through? Because he had no oil. He was living on the fire of his wick, and his vessel was empty. It had no oil. Of course, we realize that God's Spirit was working with very few back in that time in history. Brethren, if we do not prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, we cannot fill our vessels with oil. His Holy Spirit and our lamp, or the lights that we are supposed to be shining brightly into the world, will go out. In Matthew 25, verse 5, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 25. We were just there yesterday, and a verse caught my eye that I wanted to share with you in Matthew 25, and reading verse 5. Now, this is talking about the 10 virgins, and 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. But what I notice here in verse 5 is that, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Not just the 5 foolish, but all of them slumbered and slept. The word "slumbered" here in this verse means to nod off, to kind of fall asleep. You're kind of half awake, half asleep, maybe more asleep than you are awake, but you continually are nodding off, but then you're waking up. But those who slept, they were asleep, 100%, sawing logs. The differing factor here between the wise and the foolish was that the wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps, as we read back in verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But they all slept, didn't they? Or they all slumbered and slept. Brethren, they made the different factor here was that the wise had oil with their vessels. They had made preparations while waiting for the bridegroom. They had slumbered. Maybe even some of them had even slept. But the wise were prepared, weren't they? They were prepared because they had oil in their vessels. Brethren, we must always be preparing ourselves, or we will fall asleep. We will nod off, and we might just be asleep when Christ returns. How can we be prepared, fill our vessels with oil, and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are truly prepared? We're not kidding ourselves. Well, here are 3 ways that we can ensure our vessels will be full of oil, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit in our lives, in our personal lives. The first point I want to make is that we must be prepared, and we must prepare our hearts to seek our God. Point number 1 is we must prepare our hearts to seek our God. If you'll notice back in verse 14, you don't have to turn back there in 2 Chronicles, I read that King Rehoboam did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He chose not to. He continued in his own way, not the way of the Lord. He trusted in himself. He didn't trust in God. And believe me, in today's life, it's hard to trust in God, isn't it? unless you have His Spirit, unless you really do believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, who says He will not leave you alone, that He is with us personally, individually. And if He is, then we need to trust Him. And it's not easy. It's kind of like the baby learning how to walk the very first time. He kind of gets up and stumbles, and then you want to hold out your hands to grab him, and he wants to reach out for you, but he continues to walk on his own. God's Spirit is like the oil in our vessel. It must flow and it must grow. It must increase, but these increases come with what? The increases of the God's Spirit in our lives comes with us asking for it. We must be ready to ask for God's Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, real basic 101 Christianity. Matthew 7, and beginning in verse 7, Jesus Christ our Lord says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, that he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened." We need to ask for God's Holy Spirit. In preparing ourselves to seek the Lord, we need to be asking for more of His Holy Spirit. Today symbolizes that. God gave His Holy Spirit to His people on this day about 2,000 years ago, right? 1,984 years ago, if I remember reading a letter. God gave His Spirit to His people. We need to be asking for it. Point number two, we must purify our souls in obeying the truth. We must purify our souls in obeying the truth. Rehoboam and the leaders of Israel did the right thing when they found out that Shishak was on the way to take Jerusalem. They had already lost all their great fortified cities. And they saw the armies heading toward Jerusalem. They quickly, what? Humbled themselves. Humility leads to purity. Turn with me, if you will, please, to James. James. The book of James in chapter 4. In James chapter 4, I want to read verse 3. Beginning in verse 3 of chapter 4 of James. Verse 3. "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." When we're praying, are we asking for God's Holy Spirit? Are we asking for relief from some problem, which truly, God wants us to talk to Him about that. Are we asking for a new car? Are we asking for a new boat? What is our pleasure that we're asking for? What is the pleasure? What is the priority pleasure in your life? And I hope it's to seek God. Verse 5, he goes on to say, "Or do you think that the Scripture says, 'In vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'?" Yes, God's Spirit does yearn inside of us. It's a burning desire that we change and that we become more like Christ. And of course, reading on and down to verse 8, "But He gives more grace, therefore, He says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.'" Humility breeds leads to purity. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And of course, down in verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." He will lift up your heart. He will not only fill your heart with his Holy Spirit, but he will lift you up and put you on top. Let's turn also back to 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and learn a little bit more about purifying the heart. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Oh, this is how we purify the heart. We obey God. And it's easy. Jesus Christ says his burdens are light. They're not burdensome. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincerity, love, and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So this is how we purify our hearts. And turn now, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And let us read in verse 3. 1 John chapter 3. "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Yes, We need to be purifying our souls in the obeying of the truth. We must prepare our hearts to see God. We must purify our souls in obeying the truth. But we also must strive continually to abide in Him. Abide in Him. I just am impressed with this word abide, because it's all through the book of 1 John. Abide in Him. Remain in Jesus Christ. That's hard to do in today's living. Unless you're determined, unless you prepare your heart to seek God, unless you strive to obey Him and purify your heart, then it's not so hard. Then you can abide in Him. We must remain in our Lord Jesus Christ, following His example. We must keep His commandments and abide in Him, He says. And if we do that, He will abide in us. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Well, you're already there, so turn over and read verse 24. In verse 24, he says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he, Jesus Christ, in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." Our vessels today need to be filling up full, to the full, with Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit. My brethren, we know, and we know that we know, that our vessels are full of God's Holy Spirit if we will keep these three points. Preparing our hearts to seek Him. Preparing our hearts to seek Him, purifying our hearts to obey Him, and then striving to abide in His will and the conduct in our lives, to abide in Him, to obey Him. With the Lord, will the Lord then, when He comes, say to us, "I never knew you"? You know, that was a question that we heard yesterday, that possibly if we're not careful and we're just burning, our vessels are burning on the wick instead of burning the oil, that when Christ returns, He may just say, "I never knew you." That would be devastating to me, and I'm sure it would be to you also. Will the Lord say when He comes, "I never knew you"? Or will the Lord, when He comes, already know you? Turn with me, or let's read verses 18 and 19 of that same chapter. 1 John 3, verses 18 and 19. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know," yes, "by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." That's right. We will let God know that our hearts are for Him. And He will already know our hearts because we have His Spirit in us. Isn't it interesting what this day portrays? Being filled with God's Spirit, being ready for Christ's return. I'm looking forward to it. Prepare your hearts to seek God. Purify your minds and your hearts to obey His commandments. And then walk the talk. Abide in Him, and He will know who we are when He comes.